Weekend. 5th Anniversary Beatles Weekend. Beatles Weekend. 101 WCBS FM, New York. Shannon. You're listening to the 25th Anniversary Beatles Weekend. 101 CBS FM.
And here in Saturday Club, the news with us is that they're here. Yes, the Beatles. Just let
me hear some of that. Hi, this is Bob Shannon. We're about to begin a very special countdown on CBS FM of all the Beatles' top 100 chart hits in America. But before we start, I'd like to take you back to that day, 25 years ago, when the Beatles first arrived in the United States, right here in New York, as Flight 101 touched down at the airport. Paul Parker was there covering the event for WINS Radio.
Or rather, on the stairway going down, there's that fabulous hairdo. And one of them is standing and he's jumping and he's wiggling and he's waving his fingers. Oh, look at him wiggle. Look at him wiggle. Look at him wiggle.
We love you.
These kids are just pushing and jamming up against this metal gate. We had, if this gate gives way, we're all going to take a 40-foot dive. We may do the only sign-off. This is just almost impossible to describe. Hundreds of persons have gathered around the Beatles down on the ground. Apparently, this has been quite an event for the old-timers out here at Kennedy Airport. They've seen a lot of dignitaries come and go. Chiefs of state, world-renowned scientists, artists, but nothing to compare with the Beatles, I tell you.
countdown of every Beatle Top 100 chart hit in America in chronological order. That was the first to hit here, the first to hit number one, where it stayed for 7 weeks. I Want to Hold Your Hand. CBS FM, it's 1209 with Bob Shannon. Now, after the Beatles landed in New York, the press was taken into the International Arrival Building as the group passed through customs, and they waited there. And Murray the K, later to become the self-proclaimed fifth Beatle, was on the scene.
Murray the K at Kennedy Airport in the press room where everybody is beginning to edge in for a position. The place is packed, the press room is, with photographers and cameramen and interviewers. And the one sight that I saw was the pilot get off the plane, walk into customs wearing a Beatle wig. He was greeted by other members of the Pan Am flight, and everybody had a good laugh out of that. But actually, the Beatles are about to go into custom. From custom, they will come through a corridor, and they will head up toward the podium where I am standing on right now, where they will have an interview. And after that, who knows? Anything can happen. I just see the press, advanced press man of the Beatles, Bud Helliwell, who does a promotion over there, and the rest of the gang all getting ready for the Beatles.
1, 2, 3, 5!
Saw her standing there. CBS FM wasn't long until February came around and the Beatles were here in New York City. We're hearing a lot of this. In fact, you're going to have the actual first time that Murray the K talked to the Beatles. That's coming up next with Bob Shannon at CBS FM.
Every morning at Dunkin' Donuts.
Once again, to 25 years ago, 3 days from today, February 7th, 1964, as the Beatles arrived in New York City, and you are about to hear, as it occurred live on WINS Radio, the first time Murray the K ever talked to the Beatles.
How was the flight?
George? It was good,
huh? Was Phil Spector on the flight with you?
Yeah.
Well, I've got my, you know, the dancing girls, the Ronettes. They want to come over to interview you. I understand you gave them a party, the Ronettes.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to come over to interview you.
Oh, great.
All right.
We're speaking to them while we can. There's the photographers, as usual. The photographer. Did you ever see anything like that? These photographers like to hog a whole press interview.
I have watched chiefs of state arrive and address the press.
Right on point.
Huh? That'll give you an idea. Photographers have just jammed me down to the floor here. I have seen chiefs of state, dignitaries from all over the world arrive here for interviews with the press in this so-called VIP room at the International Arrivals Building, but nothing, absolutely nothing like this. It's just jammed shoulder to shoulder in every corner of the room. A battery of television and newsreel cameras, the likes of which I have never seen anywhere.
Can the photographers now do their last photographs in the last 2 minutes and then have complete silence, please, so that the reporters and the interviewers can do that?
Right. All right.
The Beatles and She Loves You. I Want to Hold Your Hand was number one for 7 weeks in 1964. That replaced it at the top of the American charts and stayed there for 2 weeks. And little did we know, as we heard these Beatle records, that we were not hearing them in the United States anywhere near in the order they were recorded or originally released in England. Nobody really cared, as long as we could get as much Beatle music as we could. But Swan Records out of Philadelphia lucked out on that. They had happened to have the rights to that, the label that gave us Freddie Cannon and others back in the earlier 60s, as well as VJ Records out of Chicago, who had some of the earlier Beatle material. And until Capitol Records, EMI in England, straightened all this out and consolidated all of these Beatles songs back to Capitol, their main record label, others were cashing in because they happened to be at the right place at the right time. She Loves You. Coming back at 12:20 with Bob Shannon, we are going to have the very first time Murray the K ever interviewed the Beatles on New York radio. It's next at CBS FM.
It's because
FM with Bob Shannon. You are an ear witness to history today as we play for you the way it really happened. You are there again on CBS FM as the Beatles landed in New York City. And as the press met them at the airport, many people, including Paul Parker of WINS, they were so new that people didn't even know at that point which Beatle was which.
Yeah, one of the Beatles is a little bit awed by the turnout of the press here. Have you ever seen a press turnout like this anywhere?
I don't think so. Not quite like this one.
Now, which of the Beatles are you?
John.
John, you're the leader, aren't you?
Supposed to be. Doesn't mean a thing, though.
Don't stop.
There was a...
There's no point in trying to go very far on an interview right now. The photographers are still working. Murray, I don't know if you've ever gone round and round with these fellas, but when they say down in front, they need it.
All right, so we'll get down in front. We'll wait for the interview to start. And because right now they're not starting anything.
How about a chance for the
That's right. Say
something.
What does
that mean?
Hello, how are you? Cecile, this is to WINS. You want to say hello to the gang at WINS?
Hello, everybody, WINS.
All right.
Glad to be here. Great.
Having a good time.
All right, that's a couple of the boys. That was Ringo, and that was George.
The very first time the Beatles were ever interviewed, sort of, under very crowded conditions, by Murray the K on New York Radio. Thanks to Paul Parker at WINS and to Ira Yuspe of M&I Studios for sharing that moment with us for our Beatle Weekend at 101. Here's our next American hit. Please, Please Me, CBS FM.
Last night I said these words to my
Please, Please Me. That had actually been released in the United States a year before that, in February of 1963 on the VJ label, but it did absolutely nothing. It was even played on American Bandstand. It was rated very low at that time. And back then in 63, it had a different flip side. Ask Me Why was the original flip of that. But when it came back with Beatlemania in 1964, this was the new flip.
Call on me and I'll send it along.
release in England and their first number one over there after Please Please Me. But in the United States in 1964, it was the flip side of Please Please Me. From Me to You on CBS FM. That had been covered in America by Del Shannon, had recorded a version of that song, and some people in the United States heard it first by him. Now, here's an historic record. The Beatles had gone to Germany in 1961, were playing at the Hamburg clubs, and were actually bigger in Germany than they were in England for a while. In fact, a lot of people in England thought they were a German group at first. But while there, in the summer of 1961, they recorded with a singer named Tony Sheridan. And on the label, originally, they were called The Beat Brothers. It was released in Germany, and it's a historic record because a youth named Raymond Jones went into Brian Epstein's record store looking for this record. He's trying to buy it. And that was what really first turned Brian Epstein, who later became the Beatles manager, onto the group, made him curious. What is this record that young Raymond Jones is looking for in my record store? It was released in the United States, the next chart hit after Please Please Me. And From Me to You, these are the Beatles back when they were the Beat Brothers with Tony Sheridan and the old standard My Bonnie on CBS FM.
Anniversary Beatles Weekend. 101 CBS FM.
You got me.
College in its turn was revived in 1986 thanks to the movies Back to School and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Twist and Shout as we play them in chronological order at CBS FM. This was The Flip Side in America. There's a place. There's no place you could go where you wouldn't hear Beatle music early on in 1964, an exciting time. Remember listening to the radio back then, and we're doing it again today at CBS FM. It seemed like every record played was by the Beatles. People were scrambling radio stations to get new Beatle material, and we have some unusual sources of hits coming up as we continue in chronological order. The Beatles top 100 chart hits at CBS FM. The States last half hour with Murray the K. When they got back to England after taking America by storm, they talked about their trip on the BBC.
This year, you must have been to more countries than in any year in the past. Is this right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Ooh, been many. Away.
Which has been your favourite one that you visited?
America, I think.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
Ringo agrees with that. Mm-hmm.
Why, in particular?
Because you make a lot of...
No!
No, because it's good, you know. It's like Britain, only with buttons.
I see, button? Yes.
That's a sort of abstract...
It's a sort of, Well, there's more people, you know, in America, so they sort of get big audiences and it's all wild and happy.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. I'll pretend that I'm missing the lips I am missing and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll ride home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you.
Released as a single of Canada, as was this next Beatle hit. Beatles paid homage to. One of the founding fathers of rock and roll by doing Chuck Berry's Roll Over Beethoven. March and April of 1964, as we play them in chronological order at 101. It's Bob Shannon on the Beatle Weekend, 10 before 1. Coming up next, a transatlantic phone call from our own Joe McCoy to Peter Holmes of Essex Radio in England. That's on next on 101.
Oh, in England. How are you, Peter?
I'm very well, thank you very much, Joe.
Peter, this is our Beatles Weekend. And I wonder if you might tell us what it was like back in England. Of course, you know the Beatles came to America in 1964. When did they really first make a splash in Great Britain?
Well, you know, I was 10 when I first remember my brother coming back with a single that had a red label on it, because the Beatles used to record on Parlophone in this country, and the song was called Please Please Me. Now, that wasn't their first hit in this country. In fact, Love Me Do was the first one. But I remember him coming in very excitedly and saying, I've got a record here which you must listen to. This group are incredible. And we sat down and we listened to this, and I remember thinking at the time, well, that's not bad, but of course at the age of 10, you don't have too much to think about then. And suddenly, he said to me, they've got a great album out, we must go and get it. Well, of course, that was just the start. And the amazing thing was, the first thing I really remember was the change that occurred to everybody's hairstyles, because the Beatles came on the scene, and you know, they were looked upon as being uncouth, because they had long hair, which was looked upon in this country, unless you had a short back and sides, it just wasn't fashionable. But the amazing thing was that they also had these suits. Do you remember the Beatles suits, Joe?
Sure.
Yeah, and they came along, and of course everybody suddenly wanted to dress like the Beatles. You saw all these fellas walking around with the new haircuts. They had the suits and the Beatle boots. If you didn't have the Beatle boots, you were nothing. And my dad was saying to me, and I remember it well, he was saying, you know, son, I don't know what this world is coming to. This group is just bad news. But of course, they went on to record the most amazing songs and also write the most lovely music. And I suppose it wasn't until the Rolling Stones came on the scene that they were actually looked upon as being human, because the Stones had long hair and the Beatles then suddenly seemed to have shorter hair.
When the Beatles first came out, how did you... Was this group different from the other groups in England? I mean, not sound-wise, not look-wise, but sound-wise.
Yes, they were, simply because they had some sort of format that they worked to. It was not normal in England to have a band that had three guitars and drums. We just hadn't seen that before. The biggest thing really around at the time was probably Adam Faith, and he was just a solo singer that sung with a band called the John Barry Seven. The Beatles were something completely different, and their arrival on the scene opened up a complete new music scene. And the Beatles, it was almost as if they were the pioneers, because following them came bands like Jerry and the Pacemakers, Freddie and the Dreamers, The Searchers. You can go on and on and on talking about it. But the music was so different. It was exciting, and it heralded a brand new era.
So I guess it happened for you like it happened for us here, except it just happened a few years earlier.
Yes, I think that's fair to say that. Of course, we always looked, you know, to the States to being the main providers of music in the early 60s. And it was like a breath of fresh air for us English, because suddenly the Beatles had hit the scene, exploded the pop industry, and suddenly we could actually stand up and say, hey, we have got some talent in this country. We tended to live under the shadow of the American market just a little bit, I think. Because the Beatles really changed all that. The music was wonderful. I should never forget the middle 60s. It was a wonderful era. CBS
FM. You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Ooh. Listen. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear.
Kiss FM. The Beatles in the recording studio in England in February and March of 1963, in a couple of sessions, recorded these songs that became hits in 64 in the United States. And that one, Do You Want to Know a Secret? Followed by The Flip Side, Thank You Girl, CBS FM. Anniversary Beatles Weekend. 101 WCBS. Now, as we play the Beatles American hits in chronological order, we pick up on a song that was recorded in 1962. Let's set the stage. It was at the Abbey Road Studios, September 4th, 1962. Not too long before that, Ringo Starr had joined the group. He'd replaced Pete Best as the drummer of the Beatles. And there was a lot of bad feeling among the fans because Pete Best at the time was sort of looked at as the leader of the group and the one the girls really loved. But Ringo was in. But George Martin, in getting ready to record the Beatles for the first time in England, decided that Ringo just couldn't cut it yet. You know, he wasn't quite integrated into the group. So he brought in a session drummer named Andy White. There are two versions of the song recorded, one with Ringo on the drums, the other with Andy White. And the version that became a hit in the United States is the one without Ringo. It went to number one here in 1964, but it was the Beatles.